Hey everyone, this is Tom Salemi of Device Talks. Welcome back to the Device Talks weekly podcast. We have a very abbreviated episode for you today. I had some plans, but they didn't come together for a whole bunch of complicated reasons. So no real interview for you today, but I did want to take this opportunity to say thank you. I was at the MassMedic Gala last night, and folks had very kind things to say about the podcast and about the conferences. A whole lot of love for Device Talks, and I'm really grateful for that. And it just got me thinking about where we are. We've been doing this for 4 years now. We actually rolled out the Device Talks Weekly podcast. Chris and I did in March of 2020. Chris Newmarker, of course, when things started to go south with the pandemic, and it was clear we weren't going to be doing in-person conferences anytime soon, it sort of made sense to create this podcast network, or at least the initial podcast, to keep in touch with folks and to hopefully have some fun and bring some connection. I think we've been able to do that to a degree. I didn't quite anticipate, although I always had a notion that podcasts would be popular. The ability we've had to really build out our podcast network with our many, many podcasts with Medtronic and Stryker and Intuitive and Abbott and others has been really just very, very rewarding. A few pieces of information. We've done almost 300 episodes of podcasts of all the different stripes, including Device Talks Weekly, but others as well. We've got over or close to 900,000 listens over that time. Again, all the combined podcasts. So that's 4 years of listens. So we've been able to touch and reach a lot of people, and I think that's a fantastic thing. And again, I just wanted to say thank you. I didn't want to not put out a podcast this week because I like putting these out. And I'm glad you like to listen to them. So what we're going to do, before I play a little treat for you at the end, I want to remind you that we have 2 days left for the opportunity to potentially visit Medtronic Surgical Robotics offices in the Seaport. You have to register for Device Talks Boston by March 31st, by the end of March 31st, and then we'll put your names together in a pool. We'll pick the folks who can participate. So make sure you register this weekend. And make sure you join us at Device Talks Boston. We've got a great, great, great agenda. Medtronic is presenting Intuitive, Stryker, Distal Motion, CMR. We're really looking forward to my conversation with Beth McCombs at from BD. Had some nice conversations last night with folks who were excited about that as well. And they actually gave me some things to think about and some things to ask about. So I'm very excited about that. So go to boston.devicetalks.com. Check out the agenda. I'm sure you'll find something that you like on the agenda. And it is just a great, great gathering of 1,000-plus medtech folks in one building. And as I was reminded last night at the gala, there's a great energy when medtech folks get together. And I'm really looking forward to tapping into that energy on May 1st and 2nd at the Boston Convention and Exhibition Center. So go to boston.devicetalks.com to register for Device Talks Boston. Okay, before I let you go, and again, I apologize for this being a short episode. I had a plan B in effect, but it wasn't as planned as a plan B should be, and wasn't as planned as a plan B should be. That's good to say. But this is fun, just to, again, take a moment to thank you all for being part of the Device Talks journey, to just kind of take a moment to acknowledge our 4 years of putting together these podcasts. We have no plans in stopping. We're going to be rolling out many, many more. So really looking forward to having you as part of that journey going forward. So with that, I'm going to end this little tiny episode with the opening to the very first episode Chris Newmarker and I did in March 2020. I had listened to it myself, not the whole thing, but the start. And it was funny. It was funny to hear. I won't say much more, but I think we were sort of on point with what we wanted to do and what we ended up doing. And I think we've been consistent in our styling. So once again, thanks for being part of Device Talks. Please do join us at Device Talks Boston on May 1st and 2nd. And, of course, connect with Chris and me on LinkedIn. Chris Newmarker, as in a Newmarker, Tom Salemi. Please connect with us on LinkedIn because we want to be part of your MedTech discussions as well. So, I'm going to end this episode with, again, just this little snippet from our very first Device Talks Weekly episode that ran in March of 2020. Thanks, everybody. We'll have a full episode of Device Talks Weekly for you next week, and we're actually going to be rolling out a new Stryker Talks episode as well. Take care, everybody. All right, you ready for this?
Ready.
Hey everyone, this is Tom Salemi. I'm the editorial director of Device Talks, the events. But I'm also the former podcast host of the MedTech Talk podcast. I joined the Device Talks events a few months ago because I really wanted to organize meetings for more of MedTech. I'm going to tell you more about the Device Talks events going forward. But right now I want to focus on what you're listening to, which is a Device Talks weekly podcast. We're going to be bringing you a Device Talks podcast, much like MedTech Talk. We'll be focusing on interviews with MedTech leaders, but I wanted to tap into the great resource that we have here at Device Talks. I work with great reporters at Mass Device and Medical Design and Outsourcing. We talk each week, we review the stories of the day, and I wanted to bring those conversations to you in this podcast. I'll be joined by Chris Newmarker. Chris is the executive editor of Life Sciences here. He oversees Mass Device and MDO. And Chris and I kind of have clicked from the start. We've only been working together for a few months, but really enjoy our conversations together. So it made sense to bring these talks to you. So each week we're going to focus on the news of the week. Right now that news is centered around COVID-19, but this will change. Normalcy will return, and we'll be bringing you Device Talks weekly each week, giving you a highlight of the MedTech news that you need to know. Mass Device does a great job. MDO does a great job. And we want to make sure you're aware of the stories they're breaking. So please tune in each week. You can listen to this on the ride home once you're working in an office again. But until then, take the dog for a walk, hop on the treadmill, plug this in, and get up to date on what's going on MedTech. We'll also talk to leaders in the MedTech industry. Talking today with Raj Anoy of Jefferies about how all of this has impacted MedTech stocks. And Raj was kind enough to take a few minutes to talk to us. So I'm really happy about this project, about Device Talks Weekly. I'm really, really happy to be bringing you the Device Talks podcast. That'll be coming out next week. Again, we'll be talking to CEOs, VCs, and other leaders in the MedTech industry. So buckle up, folks. We're going to give you some great MedTech information going forward. Now, let's get into this conversation with my colleague and pal, Chris Newmarker, executive editor of Life Sciences. So I'm not exactly a podcast historian, but I'm willing to bet that no podcast has ever been led off with the question, Chris, were you able to find toilet paper yesterday?
No, I wasn't. No toilet paper. You know, it was amazing. I mean, you know, things are really bad when you go to Costco and there's no toilet paper.
I told you, check out Staples. That might be the secret.
We have 12 rolls around the house. I think we'll be fine for a bit. Hopefully the toilet paper panic will end soon.
Well, we're not here to talk about toilet paper. We're here, obviously, to talk about MedTech. This is our first episode of Device Talks Weekly. This is pretty exciting. I haven't had a device podcast partner before, so this is fun.
Yeah, this is really fun. Too bad we're starting this off during some pretty crazy, terrible, interesting times. But I think I'm looking forward to the kind of insights we're going to hopefully be able to provide to people.
So let's focus on that. We are starting this off in the age of COVID-19, and the whole world is impacted, including and maybe in particular the MedTech world. I'm wondering, from the coverage that you folks at Mass Device have been doing this week, what were some of the most read stories, which I guess we can extrapolate to be the most concerning issues regarding COVID-19?
Well, I mean, the thing that got the most attention from our audience this week was just how poorly medical device stocks are performing, you know, along with the rest of the market. Some people I talk to, would have kind of this idea that, the device industry overall is fairly recession proof. After all, people get sick, they need mm-hmm. devices. And this pandemic's going to require like a ton of medical devices to fight it. So of course the device industry is going to, their stocks aren't going to be, doing as poorly as the overall markets, but they actually are.
Well, I'll talk with Raj Denoy at Jefferies in a little bit about this subject, but it's clear that one of the more vulnerable parts of the medtech industry is are those providers or those manufacturers who provide implants for elective surgery. I think in particular orthopedics.
Oh, exactly. I mean, that's kind of what I heard from Raj, and we'll hear some more from him about that soon. I also spoke with Debbie Wang, a senior analyst over at Morningstar, and really, yeah, that is the big message that. I mean, the epidemiologists are saying that our hospitals are going to be get really overcrowded this year as we fight this pandemic, and there's not going to be room for people who need knee surgeries or hip surgeries. Those are going to have to wait while we help all these people who are going to need ventilation, need help with this virus. So. At least on the short term, companies that are making a lot of devices that are using elective surgeries, they're going to see like a really big sales hit, and I think that does really seem to be a big story about why the device industry isn't immune from the coronavirus stock market decline we're seeing.
Hey everyone, so this seems like a good time to take a break from my conversation with Chris and talk with Raj Denoy. Raj is the managing director at Equity Research at Jefferies. He's an analyst, and Chris talked to him earlier this week for an article that appeared on Mass Device. You can find that on massdevice.com. Raj and I talked early on Friday morning. Well, Raj Denoy, thanks for joining us.
No, thank you.
So Raj, how long have you been doing what you're doing on Wall Street?
So I've been following the medical device sector for about 20 years now. I've been at Jefferies, my current shop, for about 10 years, always on the equity research side, tracking the medical device industry and companies within it.
And how weird has this week been compared to all others?
It's been relatively unprecedented. The pace at which things have changed over the last, 2-3 weeks has been sort of staggering. If you really think back to just a month ago, this was just something people were starting to get worried about, and now it's kind of become a full-blown crisis. And obviously, the equity markets have rolled over, and people are still trying to, I think, assess where all this goes. But so it's been sort of unprecedented. But I guess having done this for a while, going back to 2008, and even all the way back to September 11th. I mean, there's been periods of dislocation before. So again, unprecedented, I suppose, in most of our recent memories, but certainly not in the stock market.
Well, the first question I have is just how did the medtech sector fare overall?
Well, if one looks at, kind of picking a date and time, right? So maybe the 24th of February, when things really started to take hold, the IHI, which is the medical device ETF that we use to sort of track the industry, is down about 21% through yesterday. S&P down about 26%. The XBI, which is the biotech index, is down about 27%. So I think generally speaking, we've fared a little bit better than the broader markets and other sectors within healthcare. Healthcare overall, I think has fared a bit better than the broader markets, but I think we certainly haven't been immune by any stretch.
So what are companies saying about the impact that all of this is having on their sales and manufacturing? Any stories out there that can sort of best represent the problems that the medtech sector is dealing with at large?
Probably a couple thoughts there. I mean, I think getting back to that original comment about how this is sort of a rapidly evolving situation, when this first started to become an issue in China and then ultimately in Italy, we saw companies coming out and talking about the impact they were seeing on procedure volumes in those countries, those geographies. Some companies came out and talked about how elective procedure volumes in China, for instance, were down 85% to 90% in the month of February, and that had continued into early March. Some of the more recent updates have now started to talk a bit more about the impact in Europe and Italy in particular, starting to see some impact in elective volumes in those geographies. I think what is still a little bit unknown, though, is what's happening in the United States. And so as this becomes a bigger concern, not just in terms of the volumes of infected patients, but also in terms of the perception amongst even healthy people about what they should be doing in this period, people I think are starting to think about what that does to elective procedure volumes here. you know, to that end, we did a little survey just this week, actually on a Wednesday morning. We fielded this survey with 62 clinicians. We had orthopedic surgeons, interventional cardiologists, anesthesiologists, asking frontline doctors what they were seeing in terms of procedure volumes. And while most of them haven't seen any impact, about 23% of them, so a little less than a quarter, had already started to see some impact in their procedure volumes. It was still relatively minor, but it was starting to happen already. And I think also most of them, I think that it was 55%, thought it was going to increase. And most of them also said that their hospitals were already starting to prepare for moving resources to take care of COVID-19 as opposed to doing elective procedures. And so I guess it just fills into that same argument that this is sort of rapidly evolving, right? And the impact on procedure volumes is, I think, what people are most focused on over the next, you know, 6 months or so, even beyond that, depending on how long this takes.
I'd be willing to wager if you did that survey this morning on the 13th, that the numbers would be different, given that all that's broken. Agreed. Over the last 48 hours.
Yeah, and that's what's amazing, right? So that was just literally we fielded it Wednesday morning. Mm-hmm. So we put it out Tuesday evening, and we got all the responses by Wednesday midday. So to your point, in the span of 48 hours, it's changed quite a bit.
So finally, looking forward, what will you be watching for over the next few weeks to sort of see if things are turning up, I hope, or turning down? Are there some indicators, some bellwethers out there that we should be looking for?
So I suppose at a very high level, you know, people are starting to, investors, us as well, we're looking at, you know, how exposed device companies ultimately are to any slowdown in the economy, right? And so what I'm referring to there is, you know, are these companies levered? How well capitalized are them? Are they to ride through any storm, any protracted period of reduced volumes and ultimately reduced revenues? And for the most part, you know, medical device companies are in good shape, right? So most of these companies are not heavily levered. They don't have near-term maturities that are going to be draining their cash positions. And so for the most part, I think they're relatively safe at this point on that front. But then it becomes just this question about, you know, what do earnings look like over the next couple of years? And I think one of the interesting observations as well is if one looks at the EPS estimates for the IHI, again, using that medical device ETF, we haven't seen any capitulation yet. So the earnings, the outlook for those companies has not started to come down. So analysts like myself have not started to go in and reassess how we're, you know, our earnings outlooks for these companies. And that is going to start to happen. And so I think what investors should start to prepare for is sort of a negative revision cycle in earnings and how to really address that. But I guess, you know, the offset to that, though, is these stocks have already come down quite a bit in terms of valuations, right? And so with the group down about 21%, you know, the valuations have commensurately already collapsed somewhat. And so now it's just a question of how, you know, how the numbers ultimately match that. And that's what we're going to be focused on. You know, having said all that, though, I think one of the areas we're suggesting people continue to look is the companies which are a bit more immune. So companies whose procedures are not elective or that can't be delayed indefinitely, I think those companies probably still represent some level of safety in this environment. So, you know, we're getting to the point where I think people are starting to look for those types of names on a relative basis.
Can you identify any specific companies that perhaps may be holding most steady?
So one name we've tried to get people to focus on is Edwards Life Sciences. EW is a ticker. So again, the maker of transcatheter heart valves. There is a modest elective nature to this, right? So people can push out getting an aortic valve replacement, but you can't do it indefinitely. You know, once you get diagnosed with severe aortic stenosis, your prognosis is pretty grim. And so doing it sooner rather than later is definitely advised. And so there's a relative level of safety in that company, but you know, if things get really bad out there, I suppose everything becomes somewhat elective. But that one we're sort of highlighting is one that perhaps doesn't have as much exposure as maybe a company like Zimmer or Stryker, which, you know, do a lot of orthopedic procedures, and these can be delayed, you know, really indefinitely. So Edwards is one we're focusing on.
Well, thanks for your time, Raj, and best of luck with everything going forward. We hope to have you back on the podcast in the future.
Sure, no problem. Thank you.
All right, now it's time to get back into my conversation with my pal, Chris Newmarker. But before I do, I want to let you know we have some Device Talks events on the books. We have two coming up in June. We've got June 1st and 2nd in Minneapolis. That's Device Talks, Minnesota. Then June 23rd and 24th, we have Device Talks West. That's in San Jose. Finally, our big one is Device Talks Boston. That'll be September 24th and 25th, of course, in Boston, my hometown. Our events in June are currently scheduled to go on. We have not made any changes, but we are, of course, monitoring the situation. So please do stay tuned. We obviously want to make sure we do right by our sponsors and our attendees and the MedTech community. So if you have any questions, reach out to me. I'm on Twitter at MedTechTom. You can reach me via email, tsalemi@wtwhmedia.com. Now let's get back into my talk with Chris. And I think the issue that's impacting most of America, at least healthy America, and we joked about toilet paper at the start. Yeah, that's certainly a concern. But more drastically, more dangerously, we're seeing a shortage of supplies for hospitals, 3M in particular. I know you folks wrote about that this week. How is the supply chain looking for MedTech?
I mean, there really seems to be a lot of issues with demand right now outstripping the supply. I mean, if you just take 3M as an example, I mean, they make the N95 respirator masks that are supposed to be like some of the best masks you could wear in a healthcare setting to, protect yourself from, an airborne pathogen like COVID-19. And, I mean, not only have the supplies been drained down because of the epic fight that, China was waging against this virus, but at the same time, you have a ton of panic buying, regular people who don't, these masks probably aren't going to help them that much. At least that's at least what I see the experts and, the media reports, saying, they don't really need them, but they're panicking and they're buying them. And that means that, that's just even less masks that are available for the hospitals. And that's bad because, the doctors, the nurses, the healthcare providers, they need these masks to feel safe while they're, trying to, save our lives. So, I mean, that's kind of where we are. And, 3M, they had in a news release early this month, they were talking about a plant in Aberdeen, South Dakota that makes these masks. They're running around the clock. They're hiring workers around the world. They're adding shifts. They're ramping up the production lines. But, they're still, they're doing, they appear to be doing everything, really everything they can, but, they're just not meeting the supply right now.
Yeah, that is interesting. And I wasn't aware that they were going to be adding shifts and adding workers. And that certainly is hopeful. I guess we'll see once the COVID-19 actually hits significantly how that impacts the workforce and the ability to produce these supplies going forward. But I don't know. It seems as if we were, as an industry and as a nation, and I know this is beyond both your pay grade and my pay grade, but we've been running with such a very fine margin all these years, making sure there isn't much inventory available. I think things likely will change in the future. I think they have to.
I think in the future we definitely better be prepared more because we live in an interconnected world, and we're going to see more. And the nice thing is that people, we have so much interaction between people in the world, and this is bringing us closer together. And but at the same time, as we're bringing ourselves closer together, we're sharing our diseases, including ones that that can kill a lot of people.
That's an interesting point, and in a macabre way, speaking of bringing people together, the other area that we've seen impacted in MedTech and everywhere really is just the public gathering and the conferences. I mean, this is something that hits Device Talks in particular. Obviously, our principal business is putting together events. We still do have our two events in June, the one in Minneapolis and the one in San Jose. They're still scheduled at the moment, but we're obviously keeping an eye on the situation. We've developed a policy that basically will protect any sponsor or attendee financially, if they are signed up and they opt not to be part of it. We completely understand. I mean, we're all in this together, and we don't want to take any money we don't earn or keep any money we don't earn. So we're working toward that end right now, but we also need to look obviously at the global scale and see how that really will impact in June. At this point, it's really difficult to say, although as we've said, as the days go by, the situation looks more and more dangerous. So We'll keep our sponsors and our attendees posted. But more broadly, I mean, how do you feel that this cancellation of all med tech events? We've seen the AAOS canceled. We've seen other canceled, other events canceled.
How is HIMSS?
Yeah, HIMSS. What are you talking with folks about the impact of that on their businesses and I guess on them personally?
I mean, I've always had the sense. I mean, all of these events are really important, you know, to kind of further the innovation that we see in the medtech space. I mean, there's just nothing like having a bunch of people together, being able to meet face to face and network, you know, to have, you know, clinical studies rolled out. I mean, you've been to about as many of these events, and I think probably more events than I have. And I mean, this is kind of where, you know, the clinical studies get rolled out, results get rolled out, where the new products get rolled out, where you know, get a sneak peek into what different companies are doing, you know, and, you know, like potential business deals get done, you know, get started at these types of events. And you know, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens going forward. I mean, I don't see. I mean, it's definitely mm-hmm. going to have a real dent, I think, on the ability of people in the industry to network. Maybe they'll get more creative. Maybe we'll have more video conferencing and, you know, webcasts and whatever. But you still, it's just hard for me to see in the long run how you can really replace, you know, what you can get out of having face-to-face meetings. Human beings, we take so many visual cues when we communicate with people, and even over a video conference, some of those things get lost.
It's definitely real. I was talking with a CEO of a commercial stage privately held medtech earlier this week, and they had a European meeting canceled where they were going to roll out their new product, and they're going to show it to physicians. And it's one of these disruptive technologies that I think you have to sort of see to quote unquote believe. And now they can't do that this year. And what does that do for their projection going forward? What does it do for their burn rate? What does it do for their hiring of a sales force? I mean, there's a very large trickle down effect to all of this. And to your other point, I was talking with a manufacturer yesterday who, number one, they manufacture in Europe. So they were shocked by the declaration that travel from Europe would be banned at least for 30 days. They initially worried it was going to be products. Didn't know how they would get their products into the U.S. when they learned it was just people. That was a bit of a relief. But as he said, you don't close deals over the phone. You don't close deals over a computer. You close deals in person. So if you can't see people and talk to them and show them and support them in their decision, then it's going to make doing business harder for everybody.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, you don't want to like line up some medtech plant overseas that you never visited. I mean, you want to visit the
exactly.
place. I mean who knows? I mean, who knows what it is otherwise, right? Here's one thing, this thought that I've had about this too, is that, I mean, I think it's already been, it already was more difficult to start a medical device company outside one of the big hubs. I mean, the big hubs in the United States are, you know, Boston, Twin Cities, you know, Minneapolis, St. Paul, you know, Northern California, Southern California, especially Orange County in Southern California. So, I mean, if you weren't in one of those big hubs, it already was difficult because, you know, you had all these, you know, contract manufacturer networks, experts, you know, the big companies you're hoping might invest in you or acquire you eventually, you know, all those things were based around those hubs already. You know, these big networking events that drew in people from across the country or all over the world were then, you know, even more important because this is the way you could get in and network and, you know, still get things done. I mean, you know, and in some ways, you know, maybe this is going to make it just even more important to be in one of the hubs, you know, down the road because, you know, at least, you know, like, I mean, you will have, no matter what, you always will have like networking events in those hubs and they'll be, you know, ways to, you know, go and meet people if you're based there. But, mm-hmm. You know, it's, in a way, it could make it just even more harder to, you know, we'd like to see, you know, more innovation and more, and even more, you know, clusters of innovation around the United States. It might make it even harder to do so. There might be even more of this pressure that, okay, you got a really neat idea. Well, you're going to have to move to Minneapolis or you're going to have to move to Boston or go to Silicon Valley to get this done. Oh, and or Irvine. I'll throw in Irvine too. I shouldn't forget Irvine.
I'm sure some others will tell us of hubs that were future hubs or future hubs that we're forgetting. But perhaps the flip side of though that will be if during this experience will learn how to work remotely more effectively. Maybe we'll open the door for innovators outside of those hubs to collaborate and to get products done. I'm sure we're going to see some changes from some of our Device Talks partners, the product development companies and manufacturing companies, looking at ways to mitigate the inability to travel in the future, because I have to think that this isn't going to be the last time we have this experience. So it will be interesting to see what the long-term impact is.
Yeah, what was that old saying? Like, necessity is the mother of invention. I mean, here we go. Yes. We got a lot of necessity. So, we could get through all this, and people are like, hey, this wasn't so bad working at home. Maybe I don't need to travel as much. That's bad news for the airlines and the hotels. But maybe we'll get more efficient, and we'll get a few extra loads of dishes done because we're working around the house. We'll need more toilet paper at home.
All right. Well, with that, left in everyone's mind,
had to circle it around to the toilet paper.
Exactly. So this is our new Device Talks Weekly podcast. Chris and I are going to be get together, and we'll bring other folks from the Mass Device editorial team who are doing really great stuff. You should check it out at massdevice.com if you haven't already. And you can find information about our Device Talks events at devicetalks.com. But this is a new thing for Chris and for me. So we'd love to get feedback both on this podcast, but on any of the issues we're talking about as well. I can be reached directly at T Salemi, that's T-S-A-L-E-M-I, at WTWHmedia.com. And I'm also on Twitter. I am at MedTechTom. And Chris, why don't you share your information as well?
Hey, you can reach me at C Newmarker, C just like a new marker, at WTWHmedia.com. And I'm at Newmarker on Twitter. So yeah, I would love to hear your feedback.
Thanks to everyone for joining us on this first podcast. And we'll be back next week with another episode of Device Talks Weekly.
All right, well, that is a wrap. And yeah, I played the whole episode. I wasn't going to, but I just kind of kept listening for a good point to cut. And it was quite, I think, a journey into times past. I mean, looking at some of our forecasts as what might happen, I think folks like Rajanoy and Chris and I were sort of spot on in terms of concerns about people who didn't or weren't able to get "quote unquote" essential services. Certainly, the supply chain concerns became very, very real, and I was also shocked at that our Device Talks events were at that point still going on. As I indicated at the top, I thought that we had canceled and shipped it over to the podcast, but we started the podcast a little bit before we absolutely canceled our conferences. And I remember our having to talk to sponsors and letting them know that we wouldn't hold them accountable if we didn't have a conference. We certainly want to and wanted to be good partners for our sponsors. So that was interesting. And also the fact that Chris and I were sort of befuddled is how are we going to get life? How is life going to work without traveling to offices and seeing people in person? It just, it was a different world 4 years ago. And I forget that sometimes how different it was. So then the last piece of difference was at the end, I was directing people to Twitter and not LinkedIn. I didn't even mention LinkedIn, Twitter in my email. And I did not yet really understand the power and influence of LinkedIn, which has become an important part of my life and a great way to connect with many of you. So that's a wrap. I thought that was a kind of a great look back. I was going to cut it at one point, but I kept listening and thinking, gee, that's interesting. Gee, that's interesting. So I hope you found it interesting too. That's it. Thanks again for everybody for being part of this. Thanks to folks who have been very kind with their comments about the podcast and about enjoying our episodes. It's a great joy of ours, and we look forward to bringing you many, many more. Please make sure you do connect with us on LinkedIn, not Twitter, and connect and make sure you subscribe to the Device Talks Podcast Network. We've got lots coming your way. Don't miss out. make sure you're a part of it. And of course, register to go to Device Talks Boston May 1st and 2nd. Go to boston.devicetalks.com to register and do it before the end of March 31st so you have a shot at taking Hugo for a test drive. Take care, everybody.